want to speak from the subject of becoming a part of God's work and what it takes to become a part of God's work, and have several scriptures. Colossians chapter 1, verses 1 through 10, I believe that would be the one that I'll read. Hosea 4 and Isaiah 5, you might want to put your fingers there. Hopefully we'll get there. We may not be praying as the new year come in. Maybe we'll be just hearing the word of God preach when the new year comes in. I'll try to keep it within the time that I have left. Let's turn to Colossians chapter 1. Really a wonderful scripture on God's people getting ready. I heard so many people say, just in listening to you guys tonight, that we're going to need the Lord in 2013. Three preachers was on TV talking to Larry King, and not so much preachers. One was a visionary, Deepak Chopra, and another one was a Catholic priest, and they asked both of them, is things going to get better? And both of them said, yeah, things are going to get better. And then they had another preacher on there, John MacArthur, who I really admire and listen to. And they asked him, and he said, Larry, no, things aren't going to get better. Things are going to get worse. And we need to get ready for that. Paul knew that. And in Colossians, Paul knew things were going to get worse. And he knew that the people of God were going to need strength and power. I heard those words mentioned tonight. God's people are going to need strength and power. But one of the things they really going to need as we enter these last days, knowledge of God. Yes. Knowledge of God. And I've heard people say, well, I've been growing. And biblically, you need the knowledge of God. You need to know God's word. And then you need to know it in a way where when situations come, you can apply like a Band-Aid. Mm-hmm. And you can apply it to that situation and you can keep on moving. Let's look at Colossians chapter 1. Paul's talking to the saints of God. And I'm going to start at verse number 4. He says, since we heard of your faith in Jesus Christ, or in Christ Jesus, and the love which you have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of truth of the gospel, which is come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit.
Amen.
As it do also in you since the day ye heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth. As you also learn from Epaphras, our fellow servant, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. For this cause, we covered that Sunday, didn't we?
Amen.
For this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding.
Amen.
That ye may walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful.
Amen.
In every good work.
Amen.
And increasing in the knowledge of God.
Amen.
Strengthened with all might.
Yes,
according to his glorious power.
Amen.
Unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which have made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints.
Amen.
In light. Yes. Who have delivered us from the power of darkness.
Yes.
Let me say that again. Who have delivered us from the power of darkness. Say amen, Reverend Jones.
Amen.
And have translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. I just keep on reading.
Come on.
In whom we have redemption. Through His blood,
right.
Even the forgiveness of sins.
Amen.
Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. I'm going to stop right there. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you. Thank you, Father God, for delivering us from the power of sin, from the power of darkness, not only delivering us, Father God, but setting us on straight street, setting us in the presence of God on this New Year's Eve 2012. Father God, we were stuck. We were powerless, but thanks be to God, you set us free.
Thank you, Jesus.
And we thank you.
Thank you.
And you put a desire in our heart for the things of God. And we thank you for that. And you gave us a church family that loves one another. And we thank you for that. And Father God, we have so much to be thankful for. Because I know you've not done blessing us. And we just want to say thank you today.
Thank you.
In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Becoming a part of God's work. Becoming a part of God's work. Becoming interested in God's work. And when we say interested, we also think of being concerned or being attractive. And what would make you attractive? What makes you concerned about the things of God? What makes you want to come to church? A lot of people immediately think of, well, if you had a dance line, or maybe a bowling team, or maybe a recreation center, or maybe a basketball league. Ray was watching some movie called, what, Big Tanks? Or something. Tanks. They make these big aquariums that they put in the mall. And he was showing me, I come in the room, and he said they made a big one for a big mega church. And they put it in the church, a big tank with, you know, they put the fish in them and the snakes and the, all that stuff. Entertainment is the devil's substitute for joy. See, Satan wants to entertain us straight to hell. God has a different answer. He talks about knowledge. Knowledge. He talks about three types of people that are found in every church. Well, maybe not all three, but he says some are filled with zeal and energy. We can look at 1 Thessalonians. I'm going to flip it just a little bit here. 1 Thessalonians talks about that one kind. And this is the kind that we want to be. In 2013. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Look what he says in verse number 2. Paul is talking to these wonderful people at Thessalonica. He says, "We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers." How about that? How wonderful it must be to have someone to pray for you. But to have the great apostle Paul praying for you. I believe he's praying for us right now as we read this. Look at verse 3. Remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love. How many know love is labor? I heard Teddy talking. Love takes work. Love is a verb. It is not a noun. It is a verb. It is an action word. Love. A labor of love. And here's a patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God. Look at verse 4. Knowing, brother, beloved, your election of God. You want to know if you elected of God? I know that's a big old word in the word of God. And folks struggle with that word election and all that. But you want to know if you're elect. You ought to have a patience of hope, a labor of love, and a work of faith. If you got those, you'll be all right. So you have those people there. They're filled with zeal. They attend church regularly. They're willing to make sacrifices. Somebody made a sacrifice tonight.
No.
Just to get out. Because there's enough snow out there. There's enough snow to keep you away from church.
Amen.
Maybe not enough snow to keep you away from the football game if you had season tickets. But there's enough out there tonight to keep you from church. Somebody made a sacrifice. Somebody studying their Bible diligently. That's a sacrifice. Teaching and inviting others to come to church with you. Please pray and beg and plead with your loved ones to come and hear from the Lord. Somebody said, tomorrow may be too late. See, Revelation chapter 3 talks about another group of people that's in the church. And the Lord here, in the person of Jesus Christ, is talking to John on the island of Patmos. And he's explaining to this church in Revelation chapter 3, verse 15. Here he calls a lukewarm church. And there's a group of folks that are in the church, but they lukewarm. And many of us, you know, Rita's working in the kitchen, and we get done praising the Lord and praying, we really don't want nothing lukewarm to come out of the kitchen. We want it, if it's supposed to be hot, we want it hot. And if it's supposed to be cold, we want it cold. I heard on the phone telling Teddy, get another bag of ice because, you know, I heard Teddy, I didn't hear the phone call, but I heard Teddy say, where's the pastor? Well, the pastor was already here. Working in a prison has its perks. I can hear through walls. Listen. He says to this group of people, they attend church sporadically, and they sort of give God the leftovers. They neglect opportunity to come and study, and they do little personal work. He said, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou were cold or hot. See, all of us in here have microwaves, and those microwaves, we don't cook in them. We just want what's supposed to be hot. He said, because thou sayest I'm rich.
Come on.
All of us in here rich.
Right.
And increased with goods. Most of us had to go through the closet to find something to wear. Right. Wasn't like we just had one outfit. And I'm increased with goods. Some folks ain't here because they got too many things. Some folks ain't in church because they got snowmobiles. Some folks ain't in church like, oh, they got skis. Some folks ain't in church like, oh, they got a blade on the front of their truck and they waiting for it to snow some more. I'm increased with goods and I have need of nothing. Oh, that's a terrible place to be. And knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. And then Jesus gives them the solution to this lukewarm person. You know, you shopping at the wrong place. He said, I counsel thee in verse 18 to buy of me. Okay? Come to the house of God and purchase what I have in the house. Go try it with fire. That thou mayest be rich in white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. Listen. I say it all the time, I say it again. You can't just stand before God any kind of way.
Amen.
You just can't die any kind of way.
Amen.
You need to die covered in the righteousness of God.
Amen.
First thing that man did when the prodigal son came home, he covered him. He put a robe on him. And he was a picture. That father was a picture of God covering up sin. That son deserved to die until that father covered him up with his robe of righteousness. Then we have those type, those lukewarm ones. Oh, sporadic. You can't count on them. You just giving God leftovers. How do you know God don't like leftovers? God don't like leftovers. And then you have some that have even, these folks have forsaken the church. They just don't believe they need God anymore. They've become God. Or they comb their hair in the morning, they see God. When they shave, they see God. Well, I don't need God. I'm doing okay. And I'm not doing okay. I'm doing great. Tony the Tiger types. Look at 2 Timothy. He talks about one of these individuals, a quitter that we found in the Bible. And listen what Paul's saying to Timothy. You know, Spurgeon put it like this. As leaves are gone in the winter, so do friends leave us in adversity. Some of y'all rolling around here, and y'all was partying and doing good. That's Mike Tyson. When he was on top of the world, he had all kind of entourage. But when Buster Douglas knocked him out, he knocked out a whole bunch of his entourage. You look at all them NFL coaches, when they got fired this morning, their whole coaching staff got fired, you know. And they all separated, they all leave, and they're not with him no more. Because you can't help me no more. I gotta find me another head coach that need an offensive coordinator or a defensive coordinator or special teams. Listen what Paul says about one individual that ran with him until Paul took a rock or took a sock or was beaten or shipwrecked or he's seen a snake on Paul's hand. Paul went through some things.
Yeah.
But he says in verse 10 of 2 Timothy chapter 4, for Demas.
Demas.
Demas. Demas. Mm-hmm. See, you don't have a whole lot of kids named Demas. Yeah. Like Judas.
Right.
Everybody naming their kid Judas. That didn't cross Jalen's mind. Name her kid Judas. Or Demas. She'd have said, Demas, Debbie would say, wait a minute, I heard that before. For demons have forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica. Demas loved the ease of the world. He loved his easy chair. He loved all the wonderful things of life. Worldly ease, safety, and the comforts of home. Oh, it's beautiful to sit home and if some of you have fireplaces and you got the fire going and you're waiting for the new year to come in. You got your little bottle of non-alcoholic booze. And you waiting to, you don't want to see the ball drop, but you want to see it drop from the comfort of your easy chair. You have those type. They have left the church. They have quit on the church. You know, Jesus says something of this. He says, the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. Jesus says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish. God loved the church. God loved the world so much that he sent Jesus Christ here to be head of the church. Matter of fact, we were just studying Sunday. He says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. And all we have to do is look at the divorce rate, not only in the church, but outside the church, because husbands don't understand that scripture. They don't understand how to love your wife as Christ loved the church. And listen, like, the church is messed up. But guess what? God still loves it. The church got cancer. Guess what? They still love it. The church is deformed. Guess what? Oh, still loves it. Still loves it. So we have that kind. But then we look at our world in light of everything we've seen just in the last month. Just take the last month. And y'all know I've been following Chicago. They killed 435 people last year. They topped that. They topped that by 75. As of last week, probably another 10 since the, you know, end of the year. They're probably over 500 plus. And people say, what's wrong with the world? You know, you had a shooting at the Batman movie and folks out there watching the midnight show and man come in and shoot them up. And they say, what's wrong with the world? And then the little young boy, he's just a young boy, 20 years old, and he goes up to the school and he says, shoot him up. I'm going to shoot up this school. Look at Psalms 33 real quick. Psalms 33 and 12. See, when you put God out, whether you put him out of your marriage, whether you put him out of your family, you put him out of your, wherever you put him out from, God's not pleased with that. And see, America has put God out. We can't even pray in the Congress or the Senate anymore in Jesus' name. But the Word of God speaks to every situation. See, you have the answer. Look at Psalm 33:12, and I'm not going to stay there long. It said, blessed, happy, joyful is the nation whose God is the Lord. Somebody said, Jehovah. Jehovah God. That's all caps. Whose God is the Lord. And the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. People need the Lord. People need knowledge of the Lord. Whatever you have knowledge of, you automatically enjoy it more. See, we need knowledge of God if we're going to enjoy church. If we're going to become a vibrant member of a church, we need to be knowledgeable of the things of God. See, a lot of folks can't do nothing in church because they don't know God.
Amen.
And they don't have a desire to know him. And you can't be in a relationship with anybody that you're not intimate with.
Amen.
Cindy and I are intimate. I love her. I talk to her every day. I touch her when I walk by her. I touch her 100 times a day. I'm just touchy. I don't care. I walk by her. I bump her. I touch her. Some of y'all didn't caught me. God wants us to be intimate with him. He wants us to be touchy-feely.
Amen.
That's the kind of God we serve. And the more you touch him, the more you love him. The more you love him. You know, anything you do you have interest in, you're going to be good at it. See, a lot of fitness centers is have been started because guys like fitness. Like it so much, they want to start a gym. Some folks like football so much, the guy from the Browns, they say, well, you know, how do you want that $1 billion? In a check or a money order? I like football so much, I'm going to spend $1 billion to buy me a football team that ain't won a championship in 20 years. Or 50 years. That's love! That's love! Somebody say 48. I was close. Listen. Turn to Psalms 119. You already should be in Psalms. Look at Psalms 119. 119 and 111. And I just love these Psalms. Because see, the more you know about God, the more your joy will increase in the things of God. And the more your joy increases in the things of God, the more work you could do. The more you want to work for the Lord, you ain't going to be begging for money. Oh, I need some money to do something. Some churches have become, you know, you can't get nobody to do nothing. Unless you pay them. You got to pay everybody. Because they don't have no love for the things of God. Looking for a raise. Looking for a love offering. Look at the verse, Psalm 119, 111. Say, thy testimonies, excuse me. Thy testimonies have I taken as an heritage forever. Oh, come on now. For they are the rejoicing of my heart. You know the testimonies are? The testimonies of the people of God that are found in the scriptures. The testimonies of God. Look at Psalms 122. You know this one well, but I don't even have to turn here. Here's the song of David.
Come on.
who've been out in the wilderness, been away from God. See, David had been away from God, forced out of the Jerusalem, had to stand out in the wilderness. Look what he said when he came back. He said, I was glad. I was happy. I was joyful when they said unto me, when the people of God said it. We ought to be glad when we see somebody coming to the house of God. Well, somebody got to give Juanita a hug and a hug and let him know, I'm glad when I see you coming through the door. We see Columbus coming. Columbus, I was glad to see you come through the door. The people of God, I'll be happy when folks come to the house of God. David said, I was glad when they said it. When they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. This is a happy place. Children ought to be happy. They learn in the Word of God. Little Justin learned in the Word of God. He come to my office today. Justin walked in my office and told Reverend Jones, yeah, I need to talk to the pastor. Honest to God. He sat down in the chair. I need to talk to you. He said, let's talk. I said, what do you want to talk about? I said, what did you get for Christmas? I got that computer you gave me. And then I got a Wii. And I, he told me a little other stuff. Then he just got up and left. But the young man was glad to come into the house of God today. He was glad to see his pastor. Oh, let me tell you. The joy of the Lord is found in the house of God, and it ought to be found among His people. But listen. There's a downside, and I would be wrong if I didn't share it with you. But there's a downside of not having knowledge. Lack of knowledge is destructive. I told you to turn to Hosea. Please turn to Hosea. This is just fascinating here, and it's like reading the USA Today. I didn't say the Youngstown Vindicator, because I'm talking about the USA. Hell on earth. Look at Hosea speaking prophetically to this generation. He said, hear the word of the Lord. Hear it. It means to hear with understanding. Hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel, for the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land.
Yeah, that's right.
Come on now, go with it. Because there is no truth, no truth, no mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. Now he said there's a whole lot of folks out there preaching something that's not of God. Preaching joy and happiness and prosperity and get rich schemes and living your best life now while you wonder why that's not biblical. No. It's not. We gotta live good only because we love the Lord.
Yes.
He said, I have a controversy with the inhabitants of the land because there is no truth. Where's truth found? One place. It's only one place. It's not found at Walmart.
No.
It's not found at the Mercedes-Benz dealership.
No.
Or the Lexus dealership.
No.
It's not found in that.
No.
Where is mercy found? It's not found in the world.
No.
Satan has no mercy for you.
No.
He has a threefold plan for your life, and that's to kill, steal, and destroy. There is no mercy. Satan is not going to come and pray with you on your deathbed.
Right.
And if you spend all your time at the casinos and at the horse races, when you're on your sick bed and your dying bed, call the owner of the racetrack and see if he'll come to the hospital and lay hands on you. That's your God. See if he'll come.
Come on, Peter.
See if he'll come. Sit the guy on the numbers join a comp and lay hands on you and hold some oil on you and pray for you.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Lord have mercy. God has a controversy. Look what's happening here. By swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break out in blood touching blood. Y'all know something about that? Yeah. Blood touches blood. Who in here has not been affected by murder? Who in here has not had a loved one murdered? A nephew, a son, a daughter, a father, a brother. All of us have been touched by it. Why? Because there is no truth in the land. No mercy, no knowledge of God. You can't tell me you have knowledge of God and you'll kill somebody in cold blood by swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery. They break out in blood, touching blood. Many a man died because their wife has committed adultery or their husband has committed adultery. Therefore shall the land mourn. Is the land not mourning? The land is mourning. Go up to Connecticut. And the land is mourning. Go up to Chardon, Ohio. And the land is mourning. Go to Aurora in Denver, Colorado. And we're in and the land is mourning. Go to Chicago where 80 people a month are being murdered. 80 people a month. And that's not only happening in Chicago, it's happening in Detroit, in D.C., in Dallas, in L.A., in Columbus, Ohio, Cincinnati. Because there's no law of God in the land. There's no knowledge of God in the land. And the truth is not being preached from the pulpits. God says that judgment must begin in the house of God. It has to begin here because we have the answer, because we have the truth. And we refuse to preach it. Oh, I don't want to hurt that person's feelings. But that person may have a gun sitting under the seat of his car and need to hear the word of God. You just don't know. Oh, preach a nice pastor. Your pastor's so mean. He preaches all the time mean and warning messages. Come on. What do you want me to do? I could go to Isaiah 5. I'm not. Same message. Same message. Mark it and read it on your own. We need strength. Going back to Colossians. Paul's praying for these Colossians. And he has really just two points I'm going to touch tonight. He's praying for knowledge, and we need knowledge. We need knowledge of God. Folks, we need knowledge of God. Look what else he says. Look what else he says we need. Look at verse 11. I love this one. He said, not only do you need strength, you need to be strengthened with all might. That's not coming from yourself. This is not the might you get from bench pressing, or this isn't the might you get from doing preacher curls and Zumba and all that. This is not that type of strength. I'm not talking about that. Paul says you need the strength that come from the Lord. And look at this, according to His power. No, he didn't say that. His glorious power. God has a glorious power that the man or woman of God need. Why do you need it? It's because it's unto patience. It's unto patience. Patience is the ability to wait on God to move, even though you and all hell is breaking out of your life. You can sit and wait on the Lord because you know He is faithful. You can say like David, "Oh, I've been young and now I'm old. Yet I have never seen the righteous forsaken or their seed begging bread." God is faithful to the righteousness of His word, and He's faithful to His people. And God is faithful. We serve a faithful God. Yes. Amen. He's a faithful God. This is what He said. He's not only a faithful God. He said, unto not only patience, but long suffering. And that's God giving His people the ability to suffer long. The ability to suffer long. Some of y'all have that gift. You know, it's one of the fruits of the Spirit. If you read Galatians chapter 5, we don't like it. We don't like it. Oh, love, joy, and peace. Oh, I love them. No, the fourth one is long suffering. The ability to hang in there when all hell coming down. Can you hang in there? Or you just want to throw in the towel? Oh, we got some folks that want to throw in the towel. Going through, maybe one day away from a breakthrough, one day away from God showing up, but we just tap out. I give. I say, uncle.
Amen.
Hang in there. Hang in there. Look at what Paul says. Paul says, and not only that, in Philippians chapter 3, please turn there. We may be just preaching right on through the new year. Hang in there with me. We still going to pray. Okay, we in the new year. I'm preaching through the new year. I'm enjoying this. Okay. Okay, we ain't going to let that food get lukewarm, though. Okay. Look at Philippians chapter 3, verse 9. Listen, now listen, I Paul used so many illustrations from the world, sports and athletics. I look at this one here, and I called it high hurdler faith. Somebody needs some high hurdler faith. You ever see the high hurdler guy? He just run and then he run for a little while, then he jump a hurdle. And then he run for a little while, then he jump another hurdle. And that's our lives as believers. We just run for a little while and then we jump a hurdle. And then we run for a little while and we jump a hurdle. And see, somebody said, you either in trouble, heading for trouble, or just getting out. And that's like high hurdle faith. And if you turn to Philippians chapter 3, real quick here. In chapter 3, verse 9, I'm not going to comment on it too much because it speaks for itself.
Come on, preacher.
Paul says this.
Come on.
I hope I got the right text.
Come on.
Oh, Lord have mercy. I hate to bring this happen.
Come on, preach.
I got it. That's the right text. Oh, I'll be speeding sometime. Listen, and be found in him. How else you want to be found? Oh, you want to be found in him. Not having my own righteousness. Just the devil, you need to be found in him. Not having your own righteousness. Your own righteousness. Paul said, all my righteousness is as dung. Is as dung. Right, Teddy? Okay. That I may know him. Oh, come on. I wanna get intimate with him. Here we go again. Cindy, I'm gonna be touching and feeling the new year all the way through. Listen. That I may get, I'm still getting to know her. Marriage gets better. Marriage gets better, especially when you know the Lord. Marriage gets better. You don't even know how to love your wife until you get saved. Try to get you unsaved. You go, oh, I love you. Yeah, I love you. I love you, all right. Till you have a couple babies. Stretch marks and things start dropping. Find out what you love. And be found in him. Not have my own righteousness, which is of the law. But that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith.
Yeah. Amen.
Paul didn't want him to just know him in a regular way. Paul didn't want to know Reverend Joe. He didn't want to know him in a regular way. Not when greatness is available. Why would you settle for mediocrity? Why would you settle for a C? Young people, why would you settle for a C when you know one extra assignment will get you to a B or A? Why would you settle for a C? Why? We are as a people are settling for mediocrity. I just want to get through. As long as I get through this quarter. No, don't settle for a C when an A is right there to be had. Paul said, I'm not selling for just any kind of power. Look what he says. He says, no. I want to know him in the power of his resurrection. Paul wanted resurrection power. Some of us in some mess. Some of us in some situations that we just don't, regular power just ain't going to get it. See, some of us, we buy extra strength, deodorant, we buy extra strength, this and that. Some of us in some mess, we need extra strength, power. It's going to take extra strength to get somebody to the Lord. Paul said, I don't want regular power. I want resurrection power and the fellowship of his suffering being made conformable unto his death. If by any means I may attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Paul said, I want the same power that God used to raise Jesus to raise me. Raise me up, Lord. Give me that power from on high. Oh. Not as though I already attained. Either were already perfect, but I follow after. Listen, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ. Paul was arrested by Christ, and it took some power to do that because Paul was a bad boy. And Paul knew it was going to take a bad man to arrest me. So he met his master on Damascus Road, and God handcuffed him, put him on the ground. They still using that. See, you get arrested, they tell you to get on the ground. See, when Paul got arrested, they told him this like they tell us. Get on the ground, put your hands where I can see them. Handcuff your old face all in the dirt. If you was drunk and out on New Year's Eve, you got your white suit on and got arrested. They don't care about your white suit. Get on the ground. Listen. Look at verse 14. No. Look at verse 13. He said, Brethren, I count not myself to be apprehended. I count not myself to have apprehended. I didn't do nothing. I wasn't trying to get arrested. This is what God did. He said, but this one thing I do. Oh, this one thing I do. You gotta get this now. See, Satan is the accuser of the brother. So he's going to accuse you. And if it's not for the Lord, you will never forget the sins that you have. Some of us can testify. We can testify because God has removed our sins. As far as the east is from the west, God has removed it. Don't anybody throw up your passes. If you've been saved, if you were a drunk, a fornicator, a whoremonger, whatever you was, the day God saved you, that's when your life began. And you will not be judged by anything you've done prior to your salvation experience. Oh, Satan don't want you to know that. I'm here to tell you. Satan will keep playing. Oh, I remember. I remember. Somebody sang a song. I remember. Listen. This is what Paul did. Forgetting those things which are behind. Forget about all that. And reaching for unto those things which are before. Paul said reaching for. You ever seen them guys do the long jump and they running and then they take off on that plat and they just stick their arms out, they trying to fly. That's what Paul said. I'm reaching for unto the old thing which are before. Forget about all that stuff. Then he said, I press toward the mark of the... He didn't want the medium. He didn't want the small. You go to McDonald's, I don't even know how you want them fries, small, large, or supersized. And he said, Paul didn't take small. He said, I want the large one. I want as big as they get. Paul said, I want as big as they get. He said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. How about you folks? Oh, if you're going to do work for the Lord. If you're going to do work for the Lord, you got to press toward the mark. You got to want the high calling of God. Not the low calling of God. I'm not saying it's all bad, but why settle for the low calling when you can have a high calling? Okay? I mean, if you go to a car dealership that sells Chevy and Lexus, and the man say any car you want. Now, I'm loyal because I worked at General Motors. I'm loyal, and I think the Cruze is a nice car. But if I got a Lexus sitting there next to me, yeah, y'all know what I'm talking about. Press on, people. In 2013, press on. Because God gives you that power to shed some things. Shed some things. You know what? You need some power to shed some things. Listen. Last scripture. I'm going to close. I'm not close. I'm going to close. Listen. Hebrews 12. This is the kind of power you need. Somebody need this. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed with so great a cloud of witnesses. Somebody needs some power. Somebody got some heavyweight on them. Struggling with something. Battling with something. Listen. The battle's good. See, the battle's good. It's when you give up. See, long as you in the fight, long as you putting up a fight, they won't call the fight. But when you just taking shots and you ain't fighting back, then the referee step in and do this. It's over. It's over. As long as you fighting, as long as you defending yourself, you're going to battle in this thing. Columbus, you're going to battle in this thing. Jeremy, Justice, every man and woman and child in here, you're going to battle with this thing. You're going to battle. Don't give up. Don't give up. And if there's something that's causing you not to be able to put up the fight that you need to do, listen, ask for that lay aside power. I call it lay aside power. He said, let us lay aside every weight. But you're not going to get in the ring with a speedy guy with ankle weights on. You're going to take them ankle weights off if you get in there with Mayweather or whatever. You hop in there with him with some ankle weights on. How much sense that make? Lay aside that. Lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily beset us, and let us run. How? With patience. With patience, the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him. Oh, it was a joy. It was a joy for Jesus to come to this rotten, stinking earth and die on a cross for us. It was a joy. Oh, it was a joy to God to send his son to die for our sin. Why did he? Because he so loved us that he gave his only begotten son. How about that kind of love? That's a supernatural love. That's a supernatural love. Listen, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Oh, he got a seat for us in heaven. He's got a seat for us in heaven. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for dying for our sins. Thank you, Lord, for shedding your blood on Calvary. Thank you, Lord, for the knowledge that you've given us. And we ask right now, Father God, that you would just that you would just awaken this world to the fact that without the knowledge of God, nothing good happens. Amen. Amen. Father, thank you, Lord. Thank you for all that you've done. Thank you for the strength that you've given those here. Sister Catherine, Sister Ann, Sister Cindy. It took strength for them to overcome the loss of loved ones. And we thank you for your strength. We thank you for your grace and your mercy that you held us when nobody else would have held us. When you understood us, when nobody understood the relationship that we had with our loved ones. Thank you for empowering us. But then thank you, Father God, for giving us those loved ones to share those years with.
Yes, sir.
That thank you for that we have good memories of our loved ones that have gone on. That we can look back and smile when we think of some of the good times that we had. But most of all, Father God, thank you for saving them so that we will see them again.
Yes, sir. Hallelujah.
Oh, we spend this 70, 80, 90 years with them on this side, but we have all eternity to spend with the loved ones. And we thank you for that. We thank you for the young people that are here. That may not understand everything that's going on. But we thank you for your promise that your word will not return void. We look forward to these young men and women in here, Father God, to do great and wonderful things for you. To become instruments of righteousness to be used in the house of God. We thank you, Father God. We thank you for this minister right here, Father God, who is so faithful, who's been so faithful not only to this church, but to you. We thank you for his helpmate that has to put up with him. Thank you. I thank you for my wife.
Amen.
I thank you, Father God, for her for being so supportive of the man of God. I thank you that she's not like some wives or pastors that, well,
He called you, not me. No, He called us both. Because God said when you become married, you become one flesh. And I thank you for her support. I thank you for her honesty. Thank you for my daughter that's here. And I thank you for Ray.
Amen.
And I ask you right now that you would just give them whatever they need. They know. The Word of God says on communion, let us examine ourselves. Examine yourself. This New Year's Eve. Examine yourself. Which part of you? Which group are you in? Are you the one group filled with zeal? Or are you just lukewarm? You can take it or leave it. Or have you become bitter and cold and have forsaken not only the house of God, but God Himself? You the self-made man or woman. I ask right now, Father God, that you would just bless us this evening. This New Year's Eve.
Yes.
As we walk into 2013, let it be a great year. But a great year because of your glorious power and because we have an increased knowledge of your will. We pray those things in Jesus' name.
Yes,
His wonderful name. And Father, we're going to have fellowship.
Yes, sir.
And I just want to thank you right now for the food that we're going to receive.
Yes,
We know the Word of God that every good and perfect gift comes from above. So it just behooves us to pray for the portions that you have provided. We thank you for the hands that have provided. We thank you for Sister Rita and Mary being so faithful and diligent in the kitchen. Bless them, Father God. Again, all these things we pray. It's New Year's Day now.
Amen.
2013. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
God bless you. God bless you. Consider yourself dismissed. Consider yourself dismissed to the fellowship hall. God bless you all.
Happy New Year.